And today I want to continue our pivot series by talking to you, all of you, who made the decision to follow Jesus recently, or those of us who made the decision to follow Jesus years ago. But it's for all people who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died for our sins, who made the decision to repent from our sins, who confessed our faith, expressed it in baptism. And today I want to talk to you about this message. It is Pivot with Perseverance. You know, it would never cross your mind when you're watching someone go into our jacuzzi from Jesus over here in your far right, that they'd be at one point in their life, they would be susceptible to drifting away from God. That they would go backwards in their spiritual journey, or that they would ever quit on God. In fact, if you fast forward the video 2, 5, 10 years down the road, you'll sometimes see some sobering footage. Once fully devoted, committed followers of Jesus are now not so devoted anymore. There's no spiritual fire. Many gradually allow their relationship with God, the God who saved them, become distant and become casual. In the days of spiritual progress, of opening up God's word, and what I love hearing about many of you who've given your life to Jesus, how much you're in the word, like right now, but those days of being in God's word every day, allowing him to speak to you from it, daily dependence on prayer, telling everyone you know the difference that Jesus has made in your life has now become a distant memory. And it starts off so benign, so non-threatening. People say something like this, you know, things were going well between me and Jesus, but then I met this guy. I met this girl. I mean, we moved away, and all of a sudden, we really couldn't find a church we relocated at. Or maybe, you know, I started working on the weekends, and my family went without me, but then my family started not going because I couldn't go, and now we've just gotten disconnected. Or we got that boat, we got that camper, we got that second home. You know, COVID hit, and I just not, you know, we just stopped going, got out of habit, and then the online thing just didn't really work for us, and we just disconnected. Unfortunately, many people get stuck there for the rest of their lives, and today, what I want us to do is to declare war against spiritual drifting, because God is not just concerned about us starting well, he's very, very concerned also about us finishing well. So how are we going to do that? Like, how are we going to persevere? So to answer that question, I want us to unpack a passage from Hebrews chapter 12 today that compares our relationship to Jesus like a marathon. You know, a marathon, for those who don't know, is 26 miles race. It's not so much about speed as much as it is about endurance, as much as it is about persevering over the long haul. Hebrews chapter 12 indicates that as a follower of Jesus, we are to persevere to the very end of our life. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, number one thing we need to know is this. We need to inspiration, if we're going to last the long haul, inspiration by heroes of the past. In ancient stadiums, I've been in many stadiums, but I've never been in a stadium like this, but in ancient stadiums in Olympia, they have statues of previous winners of the race all around the stadium. So as you're running the race, you are surrounded by heroes of the past. You're surrounded by champions. Basically, those statues are telling you, hey, I did it. I persevered. You can too while you're running the race. And it's in light of that that the Hebrew writer writes what we read next. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a, say it with me, church, such a what? A great cloud of witnesses. Let us run with, say it with me, run with what? With perseverance, the race marked out for us. Now, I want you to focus on that phrase first, a great cloud of witnesses. Now, in the previous chapter, in chapter 11, we get this whole string of amazing heroes who've gone on before us, who kept the faith, who spiritually had spiritual intensity all the way to the end, who persevered against incredibly challenging odds. Anyone who is following Jesus is following in the footsteps of men and women of faith. Like, I'm not here, and you're not here, if it wasn't for people who went before us. Many of them risked their lives. In many cases, they even gave up their lives for the cause of Jesus. In the Old Testament, we see many recordings of people who are willing to die for God. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den because he would not renounce his faith in God. And these lions were not like Lion King, Simba, Hakuna Matata singing lions. Okay, these are flesh-eating lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego allowed themselves to be dropped into a flaming furnace rather than bow down and worship any other god or someone other than God. You read throughout the New Testament and you see people were so devoted to Jesus that they loved him more than they loved their own life. As John the Baptist was decapitated for persevering, Peter and John were imprisoned and beaten because they refused to obey the command not to preach about Jesus. Stephen was stoned. James was beheaded. John was sent off to an island called Patmos for the rest of his life. And then we read about a recording that Peter was actually crucified upside down for persevering. So my question is, like, why do they sacrifice so much? Like, why were they so intense? Because they believed so strongly in the good news of Jesus that he really is the only way to eternal life. He changed their lives. He changed their eternity. And in such a dramatic way, they loved him so much that they ran with incredible amounts of perseverance. Let's look at our forefathers from Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see what they went through. Look what happened to them. It says about these heroes, some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. And yet these spiritual rock stars, these spiritual heroes, guess what? They did not give up. They persevered all the way to the end. And family, let me be honest with you for just a second. There's been a number of times in my walk with Jesus, even the last couple of years, where I felt my own spiritual vigor, my own spiritual intensity sagging. A lot of it happened during COVID, to be honest with you. It was hard on all of us, and it was hard on pastors because, like, you know, just battling discouragement, battling people who aren't really running with you anymore. And there have been times in my life where I've treated myself to a first-class pity party. Have you ever done that, all right? I have the spiritual gift of pouting. I don't know if you know that about me, but, you know, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna get a job serving ice cream because people are happy with you when you hand them ice cream, right? I mean, or bacon, even better. So I just thought, that's what I'm going to do. But what gets me out of that attitude, like what gets me out of that mindset every single time without exception is the spiritual rock stars, the heroes of the past who hung on till the end. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, in your struggle against sin, Nathan, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. No, I haven't. But many people, many heroes of Scripture did. Jesus did. And you know what? I not only get inspired by spiritual heroes of the past, but I'm inspired by people today who go ahead of me, who have persevered in the faith for a lifetime. I mean, I'm just inspired by so many of you, even in the room. I think I saw Tom Moore in the room. I see so many people in the room, and those people inspire me. There's a worship song that we sing here at RCC called The Goodness of God. It says, all my life, you've been faithful, God. All my life, you've been so, so good. So with every breath that I'm able, I'm going to sing about the goodness of God. And I see young people, I see, you know, teenagers and students and college people, I see them singing that song and, you know, they like it because it's obviously got a lot of meaning to them. But then people a little older than that, they got a little more feeling when they sing it, you know. And then people have been walking with the Lord for 30 plus years and now in their 50s or beyond. And some of you have walked with God for many years. And when you sing that song, let me be honest, you just nail it. White-haired men and white-haired women with guts and intensity saying, all my life, you've been faithful. All my life, God, you've been so, so good. And as the end builds up at a crescendo, they cry out with everything that I am able, I will sing, no matter what, of the goodness of God. And their veins are bulging, their eyes are popping out. It's almost like they collapse when they get done with the song. It's like, why do they sing with such intensity? Here's why. Because after walking with God for so many years, they are so convinced that God is faithful. And so they sing at the top of their lungs, because over the course of their Christian journey, they've witnessed God answer thousands of prayers. And they have experienced the rescues of God in times of trouble. And they've received unexpected blessings from the hand of a providing God. And they receive fulfillment of God's promises in their life again and again. And they will sing about the goodness of God, family. And those people inspire me. And I was thinking this week about all the followers of Jesus that I've known in my life that have a real, vital, like authentic relationship with God. And I realized that all one thing in common. And those who gave up, those who are not racing the race anymore, also had the opposite in common. And these people that stayed the course had, without exception, they had a small group of people. They had meaningful relationships with other Christ followers. And I want you to think about it. Who inspired them? Like, who encouraged them? Who prayed for them? Think about it. They had built around them many great cloud of witnesses that surrounded them. They had a small group that inspires them to persevere. And you need that too. I need that too. We say here at RCC, long rangers are dead rangers, and we mean that. Get around other disciples of Jesus. Who's going to encourage you to stay in the race, especially when you're in danger, because we all get in danger in seasons of our life, when you're in danger from drifting from Jesus. Just like the great philosopher from the 70s, Bill Withers, he told us we all need somebody to what? We all need somebody to lean on, right? We all need somebody to lean on. So I want to so strongly encourage you to get into a small group, get in a life group, get in a ministry, because we all need the inspiration of a cloud of witnesses in our life. And the reason why I'm back on this topic is because some of you in this church, you're just relatively starting out. You're just starting out your walk with God. And when you sing the song, "All My Life, You've Been Faithful," like some of you are going, "Well, I've been walking with God for 2 weeks now," all right? So, like, I just met a girl just outside, and she's got tears streaming because she's under attack. She just gave her life to Christ, and she's under attack, and we talked about this. I've been a follower for Jesus Christ for 34 years now, and can I tell you, wait until you have 3, 4, 5 decades of God's faithfulness under your belt, and it will floor you. And I would love to live long enough to see the day when some of you, just like that girl I just saw walk out of the church from first service, just like her, that she has 34 years under her belt. With many of you relatively new in the faith, when you're able to look back at 3 previous decades and all the storms that you've weathered with the supernatural assistance of God, at the relationships that you've seen restored because of reconciliation powers of a healing God, when you look back and see how God provided resources that you didn't know anything about, and after thousands of prayers have been answered, because our God hears and he answers our prayers, I'm telling you, it'll change the intensity in which you worship God. All my life, you've been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good. So with every breath that I am able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. And wouldn't it be something if there's future generations of followers of Jesus Christ who one day say that about us? Who one day when they read and they study and they preach on Hebrews chapter 12, they're thinking of RCC back in 2023. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, like that group of believers back in 23, let us run just like them with perseverance the race marked out for us. So if we're going to last the long haul, we got to keep that in mind. Second thing we got to keep in mind is this: anticipation of struggles in the future. If life is like a marathon with Jesus and not a sprint, we got to anticipate some tough times that are coming ahead. I have a friend of mine named Amanda, and she was an athlete, professional athlete, Ironman athlete. She performed all over the world. In fact, she's well known in many countries because it's a bigger deal in those countries than it is here in the United States. In fact, she'd go to Brazil, be a huge poster of her hanging on a skyscraper because she's won there, Ironman athletes. And I asked her, I hired her husband as my student pastor in Phoenix. And I asked him, I said, what's like the most important parts of the race? I was running races at the time. I said, what's the most important part of the race? She said, well, there's two. The first part, most important part, is a start. Because at the start, man, you're all pumped up. You're feeling so good. And therefore, you're tempted to run too fast. Raise your hand if you ever run a race before. Raise your hand if you've ever done that before. It's kind of like thrilling, that beginning, right? You're just feeling like, I'm going to just blow through this course. And you can go, though, if you're not careful, too fast. You can exert too much energy, so you don't have enough energy to last the entire race. So you have to pace yourself. There's a rule among runners that goes something like this. If you're running long distances, if you feel good, slow down. If you feel bad, speed up. And family, I think the same is true of followers of Jesus. When you first pivot your life to follow Jesus, sometimes we just get so excited that we do too much at the beginning. Like we get like 3 different small groups. We do 5 different ministry teams. We're taking classes on top of that. We're going too fast. It's not sustainable. And then if we're not careful, we're going to burn out. So we need to anticipate the struggles in the future and pace ourselves. But then she said the second most important part of the race is when you hit the wall. Because if you run a long distance race, you're going to hit the wall. And so how are you going to navigate that? It reminded me of the Boston Marathon. I don't know if you know this, but at mile marker 22 in the Boston Marathon, there's something called Heartbreak Hill. And when you get to Heartbreak Hill, you'll see a people holding up signs like this one right here. You're over the hill. I mean, you know, so, you know, you start going, okay, I made it over the hill. There's actually a police officer and a cherry picker who said, you just ran Heartbreak Hill. It's all downhill from here. But even when you're on the hill and you're looking down, you even actually see some ups and you see some downs that are ahead of you, more hills to climb. And let's be honest, that can be really discouraging because you're not at the beginning and you're not at the end. You're right there in the middle and you hit the wall. What are you going to do? The same thing's true for us following Jesus. If you follow Jesus for a while, sooner or later, you're going to hit Heartbreak Hill. It might be divorce. It might be bankruptcy. The death of someone you thought you'd never lose at this time in your life. Infertility, suicide of a friend, a violent crime, something devastates you. And just when you think you're over that, guess what? You get hit again. Maybe someone lets you down. Maybe all of a sudden you go through a health crisis or you see other people going through circumstances that just don't make sense in your mind and you're tempted to quit. And the Bible makes it clear that following Jesus is a grueling race, so you got to be wise. And just like the runners of the Boston Marathon, we have to anticipate heartbreak hills in the future and some of the hills that follow even after that. So how do we prepare for this race? Let's look at our text. Look what it says. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the what? And the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with what? With perseverance, a race marked out for us. Marathon runners have found out that 1 or 2 ounces in their shoes of weight makes a big difference because over the course of 26 miles, those 1 or 2 ounces add up to over 100 pounds of extra weight you're carrying. So you got to learn to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. My question is like, what is the sin? Because it's written in a definite article is used here. So I don't think it's a general reference to all sin, even though all sin does entangle us. I think it's referring to a specific sin. In the context of Hebrews chapter 10 through 12, it's all about faith. So like, what's the sin? It seems to me the sin in this text must be a lack of faith in God. It must be a lack of trust in God. The sin in those times when you hit Heartbreak Hill and you start doubting that God that saved you can get you over it. You start doubting that the God who saved you is strong enough to sustain you over the hill. And that sin can wrap around you and then it can start sucking out the vitality and the hope of the race. And then you start doubting. Then you're tempted to give up. And it's throwing in the towel. And then you want to turn your back on God. And with the lack of faith, we can look at the heartbreak hills of our life. And then we start saying this, impossible. Impossible. I can't go on like this. What I need is I need another place. I need another job. I need another family. I need another spouse. I'm taking things in my hands. And I'm giving up on you, God. And this scripture is challenging us with this. If you want to hang on, if you want to finish the race, anticipate the struggles, throw off the sin that so easily entangles and causes you to spiritually like start sliding with your intensity, and run with perseverance. Not walk, not jog, but run. And do it with passion and do it with great effort. Now, this goes against the grain for many of us in America, because us Americans, like, we really value comfort. Like, we really don't want to overextend ourselves too much. Do you know what the number one top-selling chair in America is? You know what it's called? Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy. Not Risky Boy. Not Worker Boy. Not Data Boy. Lazy Boy. And so what we talk about is like, you know what, I just want to get home and I just want to make myself as much as a vegetable as possible. You know, we call it vegging out in front of my flat screen TV, watching, you know, Netflix. And what do we call those people? We call them couch potatoes on their lazy boys. And sometimes if we're not careful, as followers of Jesus, we don't want to risk anything. Like, we don't want to take any risk. We don't want to extend any energy or any effort. And we find ourselves like, all of a sudden, I don't want to go on any more adventures with Jesus. But family, Jesus is looking for people who run with energy and with passion and with perseverance. Jesus is still looking for people who will say, I may be small potatoes, God, but this bud's for you. Can I get an amen? All right, that's what I'm talking about. Persevering over the long haul, the lifelong journey, relationship with Jesus takes inspiration by heroes from the past, anticipation of struggles in the future, and then next up is concentration. Concentration on Jesus right here, right now, in the present. Look what the scripture says. Let us run with perseverance. Look at this. Say it with me, church. Let's say it all together on the count of three. One, two, three. What? Fixing your eyes on Jesus. That's what we got to do. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So consider Jesus. Like all the time, who endured such opposition from sinners when you feel like giving up, so that you will not grow weary and so that you will not lose heart. When you're tempted to give up, guess what? Fix your eyes on Jesus. The KJV translation says that pioneer and perfecter of faith, what it translates it as in is that he is the author and he's the finisher of the faith. Think about it. He authored our faith. Like through forgiveness, we have faith. We can have faith because he authored that. And on top of that, at the end of the day, we're before the ultimate court, before God. Jesus is going to be there. And he's going to advocate for you as your defense attorney. And he's going to say, this woman, this man was given grace, forgiven because of my death on the cross. Their penalty has already been paid. He's the author. He's the finisher. And why did he do it? Like, why did he endure it? Did you notice what it said? And let us run with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the what? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Dying on the cross was joyful? No. You were the joy. You and me were the joy set before him. You were the purpose that enabled him to endure. I've been told that the two most painful things that we can go through in this life is childbirth, which I've never experienced, all right, and a kidney stone. How many of you guys ever had a kidney stone before? Raise your hand. All right, a few of you. All right, so I hear those are the two most painful things you can go through. But let's just talk for a moment about the difference between the two, okay? A woman goes through 9 months of carrying a child in her womb, and then she goes through the painful process of delivering that baby. And after a little time passes, because she's crazy, she starts saying this, maybe, just maybe, I would be willing to do that again someday. You know, some of you do that. Nobody says after passing a kidney stone, maybe, just maybe, I would love to go through that again. Nobody takes a picture of the kidney stone and hangs it on the hallway of their house, right? Nobody puts a book together and says, here's my first kidney stone. Like, nobody gets a collage on Instagram or Facebook and, you know, entitles it, my precious kidney stone, hashtag blessed. Like, nobody does that. with a kidney stone. Like, what's the difference? Childbirth is pain with a wonderful purpose, right? Perseverance, guess what? It's painful, but it's pain with purpose. It's pain with a purpose. And I just want to say to the followers of Jesus in this church, RCC, who run a spiritual run, who have incredible energy, even when it hurts, even when it costs you physically, even when it costs you emotionally, mentally, financially, because you give generously to the cause of growing the kingdom through RCC. You pray diligently. You carve out time to get with a band of other people in a life group and on a weekly basis. You selflessly serve in one of our ministries. You unleash compassion in our community. But it's pain with a purpose. And when I see so many people getting baptized, and when I hear stories of students who are going through a life change because of Jesus, when I watch marriages that were hanging on by a thread all of a sudden come back together, and when I watch addicts and people broken by divorce or broken by death find hope and recovery from what God is doing through this church, it just becomes so clear to me that yes, it's pain with a purpose, but it's worth it, it's worth it, it's worth it. And family, when you're tempted to quit that job and quit that marriage and quit your family and quit life and quit your relationship with God, remember Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, persevered all the way. Why? So that you would not grow weary, so that you would not lose heart. And so every time a soldier pulled on his beard, every time he slapped, he was slapped in the face. Every time a whip went on his back and ripped out a chunk of his own flesh, all hell was screaming to Jesus, quit, quit, quit. And when the nails went through his hands and went through his feet, when people ridiculing him as he's hung on the cross and said, come down from that cross, you're not who you say you are. Everything outside and everything inside of Jesus was saying, just quit. But with supernatural strength from above and out of deep love for you, who was the joy set before him, Jesus persevered. Jesus died that death that made it possible for you to have salvation from all of your sins and receive eternal life and have a complete transformation and start new beginnings. And I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that Jesus is a Savior that persevered, aren't you? And as we continue through this pivot series, I want to challenge you to maintain your spiritual intensity for him, with him, to persevere, be inspired by the heroes of the past. I can't help but think of all the great cloud of witnesses who surround me every day and surround you to remind us that our God is always faithful. Anticipate the struggles of the future. Yeah, there's some heartbreak hills coming. But we can do this with the Lord and concentrate on Jesus Christ in the present, right here, right now, who endured the cross so that you and I would not grow weary, so that we would not lose heart. So will you stand with me right now? Please stand. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. I'm going to ask you a question with your head bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to ask you this question. What's God saying to you right now? What's God saying to you right now? Maybe you're here, you're drifting. You know you're drifting. We all do at times. You lost heart along the way. You haven't been fully devoted to Jesus. Don't pretend everything's just fine. But guess what? Today you can pivot. And why don't you pray? You can pray right here, right now. Just pray to God. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you that your grace is real. Thank you for giving me another chance through your son, Jesus. Forgive me, cleanse me, renew me. Pivot my soul. May all of us, no matter where we are spiritually today, that we stay committed to not being stuck in neutral. If you're in neutral, you're going to coast backwards. We're going to persevere with purpose and with passion. So let me pray. Father, we're so grateful for the perseverance of your son, Jesus, who made it possible for us to pivot our relationship with you. And Father, I'm so grateful for all those who put their belief in your son, Jesus, confessed him a few weeks ago, were baptized in this series into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. For all those who had a pivot point in their life, who repented from their sin and are transformed by your grace in their lives. And Lord, I pray for all of us who received your grace in our lives, that we would take your hand and that we would persevere, that we would not give up. Because we have a God in you who has never given up on us. We're praying this in the name of your son, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Can we give a God who's never given up on us a round of praise right now? Just, he's never given up on me. I am not going to give up on him. So if we can pray for you, we can be a blessing to you. Our prayer team is up here. Maybe right now you feel yourself drifting like I felt in my life. We would love to pray with you. Maybe you want to pray for somebody else. Maybe you want to receive Jesus today. Maybe you want to share a joy. Please come. Maybe you want to come up here and pray by yourself on the stairs, whatever it is. But once you come, we sing about the goodness of our God. Amen. Let's let him hear it. Let's sing to him right now together. Please come as we stand and worship him.